The Skagway Assembly revisits a trapping ordinance passed earlier this year, and local committees review their proposals for Dungeness crab management in Southeast. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly last week decided to revisit a trapping ordinance passed earlier this year, and it voted down funding a change to the Gateway Project. KHNS's Margaret Friednauer has more.
The Assembly discussed the Gateway Project amendment mostly behind closed doors, but many of the details were laid out in a meeting earlier this month. Here's the gist. KPFF Engineers of Seattle was awarded the $1.5 million design contract for the Gateway Project to expand the Skagway port. In October, the Assembly voted to add another $1 million worth of work to the contract. That work is to analyze material in the ore dock basin and conduct drilling in the ore dock peninsula and small boat harbor. Then KPFF said an agreement with its drilling subcontractor, Denali Drilling of Anchorage, fell through. In order to keep the project moving, KPFF found another company to do the work, Cascade Drilling. But that company is located in Seattle and uses some different equipment, so it will cost another $221,000 to bring the company to Skagway to do the work. Engineer Bob Riley of KPFF was on the phone during the meeting and says there are only a few qualified drillers that can perform the type of work needed on the project. He said the additional money is to fund the change in drilling company and none of it goes to his firm. He said if the city doesn't fund it, his company will have to cover it out of pocket. But the Assembly was not convinced the municipality is responsible for the extra cost. Discussion at that meeting, and at Thursday's meeting, revolved around why KPFF did not have a contract with Denali Drilling if it intended to use it for the work. The city also consulted with its attorney. Since the discussion last Thursday was behind closed doors, it's not clear exactly why the Assembly believes the city shouldn't be on the hook for the extra cost. The Assembly was unanimous in its refusal to pay the extra money. Project manager Chad Gubala said the drilling is expected to begin the first week of January. Also at Thursday's meeting, Civic Affairs Committee Chair Angela Greaser asked the ordinance setting a list of established trails be postponed. That ordinance was drafted to accompany a recent trapping ordinance. But Greaser said she is bringing that trapping ordinance back up for consideration at the January 22nd meeting, and so she wanted to wait on the trails ordinance as well. The trapping ordinance was passed in June after about 6 months of sometimes heated committee meetings and public comment on the issue. Several people on Thursday again testified against the ordinance currently on the books. Former Assemblyman and Chairman of the Civic Affairs Committee, Jim Sager, had worked to hammer out compromises between those not wanting local regulations on trapping and residents who wanted restrictions put in place within the borough and on nearby trails. But Greaser, as a new chair for the committee, said she wants to bring the ordinance back to the Assembly to possibly look at again. She said there was some confusion and unresolved issues with it.
Whether the Assembly intended it to be eighth mile or a quarter mile, there was some confusion on that. And some people wanted at least the Assembly to address the private property issue, and that never got addressed. And also the maps weren't done when you guys passed it before, and I think being able to see a map and how much area it really covers would be really helpful. So I'd like to bring it back to the table January 22nd at that meeting and see if you guys want to make some modifications to it.
The Assembly Thursday also heard an update on the public safety facility. Gary Hansen said once the project reaches a 65% design phase, he wants to use a design build process to move that project along. That process is different than having a design totally completed before going out to bid on construction, as he explains.
Instead of having the whole design done 100% and then putting it out to bid for different construction companies to bid on, where we want to bring the company in before the design is finalized, assuming that they're going to have a lot of suggestions for the architects on ways they can save money on windows, doors, heating systems, all aspects of the building.
Hansen said if he can get approval to move ahead with that process, he hopes to kick off the project later this year and break ground in 2016.
Local Fish and Game advisory committees are meeting this month to go over proposals that will come before the State Board of Fish at its meeting in January. One of the hot topics for that meeting will be Dungeness crab management in Southeast. There are a handful of CRAB proposals from Haines authors that will go before the board. The Upper Lynn Canal Board recently met and was split on its recommendations for those proposals. And proposals to close commercial Dungeness crabbing in many areas of Southeast Alaska got no support from the Fish and Game Advisory Committee in Petersburg. As Angela Denning reports, one resident hopes to make one area near Petersburg off limits to the commercial fleet.
Petersburg's Fish and Game Advisory Committee has opposed all proposals that would close areas in Southeast Alaska to commercial fishing for Dungeness crab. There are a dozen such proposals for the Board of Fish to consider at their meeting January 21st through the 27th in Wrangell. Two proposals that got the most discussion at a recent advisory meeting in Petersburg came from local resident and commercial fisherman Steve Burrell. His proposals would close the commercial Dungeness crab fishery in portions of the Wrangell Narrows. At the meeting, Burrell said the proposals would provide a small area for locals to fish without pressure from the commercial fleet. He told the committee that it's a conservation measure to protect the resource for coming generations.
At least your kids and your grandkids might have a place to go catch a crab out here. Because if it goes like you guys all say it's going to go, the sea otters are taking the crab. The commercial fishermen are going to catch every crab out there until they catch the last male crab.
Committee members talked about it for a while and thanked Burrell for participating in the process, but made it clear they would not support the proposals.
There is no conservation issue for Dungeness crab.
That's committee member Max Warhatch.
You've got January through June 15th, you can harvest all you want, and from August 15th, and all the way through that time frame, of course, even though I know it is hard to catch around commercial pots, it's a pain in the butt. I watch people try to do it all the time, and it's like, it ain't going to work. But so basically, it's like you're looking at a two-month closure, and then you got another 6 weeks, and then you got to deal with October, but then you've got the rest of the time to harvest. You've got 8 months when we can't fish there. At all.
Board member Andy Knight agreed that the non-commercial fishermen had plenty of opportunity.
Gosh, you know, there's 245 days a year where there is no competition in that area.
Committee member Frank Neidefer said he did not support the closures because he feared it would lead to closures in other areas.
Well, that's my opposition too, is because it sets precedents and everybody wants one.
Committee member Joel Randrup said he didn't like the proposals because it pits Burrell against them, which he says is not where the fight should be.
It's us against the federal government with the sea otter. And if we could harvest sea otters, and we'll never will, but if we could, there would be no problem.
Fishermen argue that the sea otter, which is a protected species, is eating up too much crab in the area. Alaska Natives are the only ones allowed to hunt them. Burrell said he submitted two proposals, so the committee might choose to support one or the other. He told committee members they are like talking to a wall because they vote no on every proposal regarding closures.
It's something to think about instead of always just voting no, because it's just not about all of us. I'm a commercial fisherman myself. So think about beyond what you know, just our pocketbook for today. I think you should consider this proposal.
The committee ended up opposing both proposals, but there was some support for other ways to get more crab to local fishermen. While committee members said they would not support closures, they could support loosening size restrictions. Although Burrell pushed them to modify his proposal to reflect that, they took no such action. The only proposal regarding a Dungeness crab closure the committee did support was one that would repeal a closure for commercial fishing near Tenneke Inlet and Sitka Sound. The proposals and the recommendations from the Petersburg Committee will go forward to be considered by the State Board of Fish at their meeting January 21st through the 27th in Wrangell. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
Haines has seen a dramatically low snowfall this winter. Only 3.6 inches of snowfall has been recorded in downtown Haines since November 1st. By this time last year, 111 inches of snow had fallen. In 2012, 60 inches of snow had blanketed Haines. That's according to Richard Lamb, a forecaster with the National Weather Service in Juneau. Temperatures have also been warmer than usual. December so far has been 5.5 degrees above normal, with an average temperature of 32 degrees. November had an average of 33 degrees, 2.53 degrees above normal. Lamb says the warm temperatures and lack of snow are due to a strong storm system in the Gulf of Alaska. Lamb says there is potential for a white Christmas, but if there is any snow on December 25th, it probably won't be a lot, between 1 and 3 inches. He says to keep expecting normal than average temperatures in the next month. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.